Well, that's interesting. There's no pictures on the screen. What the fuck?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, we could be heard. I had this great plan. I was going to come in. I was going to do everything. And then I just stared at my screen and there's nothing there. And I'm like, where is everybody gone?
Oh, I don't get to look at our beautiful faces.
Yeah. We're there. There we go. Anyway, let's just pretend that everything starts now. The music's just finished. Ba 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 bum.
Bring Buffalo Soldier.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lisa, aka Millicent. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lisa. Oh,
thank you. You're all going to Hollywood.
Yeah. X Factor. Here we come.
So thank you, guys.
You're welcome. That wasn't planned. I didn't tell anyone I was going to do that. I was going to come in. I was just going to do it. And then I was like, where's everybody gone? No, it's fucking broken. Anyway.
Could never tell.
Hello, everybody.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Cheers.
How would you drink with Miss Squash?
Cover the brands.
Okay. Hello, everybody. You are through to another exciting episode of the Dice and Die Show. My name is Luke. I'm your best friend, your GM, your DM, your host, your cousin twice removed. Today, I'm joined by the birthday girl, Lisa Horton.
Hello.
We've got Gavin Bourne.
Evening.
James Bly.
Hello, my child.
And Sean F. Lee.
Hiya, love. Hiya, love.
It was Lisa's birthday yesterday. How old are you now, Lisa? 30, same age as me, 34?
34.
Ish.
34 years young.
Fucking hell. Where has our lives gone?
What have you done with them?
I don't know what happened to the years.
That's just ridiculous. Like, I swear, like, you and Sean went to college together, me and Sean went to school together. We've known each other probably since we were about 12. But, like, I remember, like, meeting you the first time. We went to Music Tech to see one of your college friends' bands, and Scott Chamberlain picked us up. And
Scott.
We must have been 17, maybe 18.
Yeah.
Fucking forever.
Many
ago.
A drunk night out after that.
And yeah, after all those nights out in Romford with Katie and everyone. Oh, so long ago.
Your mate Steve?
Yeah, it's Steve. Cleveland.
Steve!
Yeah.
Everyone knows Steve. He's still alive, by the way, but barely. He's still alive, but he's broken completely.
Yeah, he's completely fucked. Yeah.
So shout out to Steve Cleveland. We love you, dude. Get him
on Facebook as well.
He's a good guy. He's been one of my best friends since I was about 11. Yeah.
He's a very good guy.
But he's that's another story.
He's broken.
Broken.
His bones are all broken, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
he's like a cyborg or something. He's got like some electrical device that's been surgically implanted into his spine to help him walk and stuff.
To help him with the pain and stuff, but it hasn't worked. Anyway, why am I giving his medical details out online?
And his social security number.
He's not quite the T-1000 yet.
He's not.
We mentioned Sean Cleland.
Sorry, I'm fairly certain that he doesn't listen to the show. Considering the fact that, you know, like we've got D&D friends, you know, I've got a group of friends who love D&D who occasionally put out their own podcasts. I know for a fact they don't listen to this show, the bastards. I listen to their show.
You do, okay.
Listen to their show.
You're a podcast king.
Fuckers. Yeah, I'm a podcast whore, though, aren't I? How is everyone? Good week?
Good. I just got back from a little interview at the North Pole.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Are we talking to the next Father Christmas, Santa Claus?
Well, I should know by Monday, apparently.
What sort of questions does Santa get asked?
Well, right, so I approached it as like a casting. Turned up in like not
a big yellow jacket,
but
a big red jacket, rather.
I put some antlers on the dog. But like I kind of approached it as that they're, you know, quite relaxed, and if they want you to wear something specific, they tell you. So I've kind of got there, and there's all of these guys in fucking suits. Like it was an actual job interview. you know, they're approaching it a bit more corporate than I expected them to.
Definitely thought you meant Santa suits.
And you come dressed as an elf, didn't you?
Full on ties and black shoes. And I'm like, oh, God. But I said to him, it was like, oh, have you got your CV? And I was like, well, I've been freelance for 6 years. I'm an actor and videographer. Like, I kind of don't have one of those things. But they were fine with it. They, oh, you know, we've had a couple of actors in and they've been in the same boat.
Surely, surely you would shine in that environment, though. Like, so, like, good luck to you, man. Because, look, I mean, what sort of cunt fucking turns up for a Santa job in a suit?
Exactly.
You're supposed to dress for the job you want, aren't you? So you should have gone in a Santa suit, really.
If I was in that fucking room, I would have been like, you know that guy who didn't come dressed in a fucking suit? Let's get him. I mean...
So was it just a talking interview where they ask you like stupid competence questions? Was it not an audition?
The first thing I did to prep for this interview was learn the names of the fucking reindeer. Did it come up? No. All day I was going over that shit. Didn't come up once.
Did they ask you the question? So what do you think qualifies you for the role? And then you could have been like,
Yeah, they were like.
I
was just like, well, yeah, they just basically said, why do you want the job? And I was like, because there's no fucking panto, you know. I was like, you know, look, there's the areas that I work in aren't up and running, and this is an overlooked alternative to the kind of actors' Christmas, because it all is for actors, panto is always Christmas, that's the go-to job. So it was nice to have an opportunity to explore other ventures. Nice. You know?
Did you say in such a sexy manner?
No, I did it with my...
When you said explore, it was like I was right on all fours there, man.
they asked, they was like, we'll just do a very quick bit of role play just to see how you respond to a kid being a shit, basically. And she was like, oh, I want a pony. And then... what came out of my mouth wasn't, I had nothing planned in terms of character. And suddenly David Attenborough just spilled out. And I was like, well, you know, little child. So it's like, fucking hell, Sean, what are you doing?
So they've gone back and gone, oh, if he can keep it up all day, he's all right.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. It'll be like no voice by the end of it.
That's got to be the hard thing about doing the job, though, because like acting, at least you get little breaks, kind of like, I mean, imagine being Santa all day long for
especially
other
the roles
people's
I get.
Kids.
I'm normally only in one or two scenes.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
This could be the start of it, you know?
This could be it.
Sean's Santa Emporium. Yeah, sourcing work.
On the way back, I was chatting to Dan, my comedy double act partner, and we've come up with an idea of a kind of bad Santa with him being my elf. I mean, we're perfect for the roles, you know? So that's on the cards.
Good luck to you. And if you get the job, I'm totally... Where is it? Lakeside? Is it a Lakeside one?
I shall bring my spawn down to see you.
I absolutely will bring my kids down to Lakeside just to sit on your lap.
Socially distant. It's a virtual lap.
It's like a little plastic one, like 4 feet away from you.
Yeah.
It's just a really long fake leg.
A stuffed Santa suit with an iPad in the hood.
Yeah. What do you want? That'd be awesome.
Alexa. Yeah, they would have to be social distance, don't they? Jeez.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's no sitting on knees, apparently. It's all.
Well, I don't think you're allowed to do that anyway anymore.
2 meters away.
That's probably changed, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I was like, don't forget to use your antibacterial hand gel.
yeah, I don't know. That would have kind of, that would have taken a point off for me.
That sounds better than my week. My week's been pretty dull. I've started a new job, same company, just a new role, and I fucking hate it. I've been telling you all week about how dull and boring it is. And other than that, my life is a bit shit. I've started taking some new antidepressants. So,
ooh, which ones?
Venaflaxin or something like that.
Venaflaxin, yes. I think I've heard of them. I've not tried them.
I'm on day 4. Touchwood, so far it's going all right, but I'm not drinking tonight because they're new I don't know how they will react. So,
absolutely, yeah.
Sensible.
So I'm drinking some apple and blackcurrant squash. So I don't know how tonight's going to go. I'm not going to be my normal drunken idiot boy.
Well, maybe if you take like another couple of
the castle.
Take another couple of the venlaflaxin, yeah. And that might compensate.
Do. It might do. But it ties in quite nicely, actually, because I think we've just had Mental Health Awareness Week or something like that. So, but a few,
there you go.
Mental health. There we go. It's not a joke. It's funny
sponsored
enough.
By Xanax.
Yeah.
Actually, it kind of is a bit, well, like, it, or at least, well, yeah. No, you say it's not a joke, but it can be.
Yeah, if put into the right hands.
Yeah,
depends.
Let's not just write off jokes, you know, just because it's Mental Health Week.
Comedy is
if it's this week or if it was last week. I think I remember thinking it was last week, and it was quite apt actually, because I, as you guys know, and even people on the stream, like I do talk about it occasionally, like, but there was an episode we recorded back in the summer when I was particularly shit, and I put a bit out on the recording saying, you know, like, reach out, talk to people if you're feeling the dark place. Because it's been really, really shit. That episode dropped last week, like we fucking planned it. Like we planned it, and we didn't. But it was. I was listening to it last week when I was walking the dog, and I was like, "Oh, it's fucking Mental Health Awareness this week." Anyone would have think that we're a professional outfit. So yeah, don't be afraid to talk to people if you need help. That's my. We'll see how tonight goes. Like the past couple of weeks has been quite messy for us as well, by our normal standards. Even I don't know what tonight's going to be like. We were going to have a drink for Lisa's birthday, so you guys enjoy yourself. Who knows? Maybe tonight will turn out the best fucking game ever, and then I'm just going to have to stop drinking when we play all together, and that will suck. So I'm kind of hoping that tonight's going to be a little bit boring, and I'll just be like, right, I'm not doing that again next week. Just get on it.
Let's at least like. Let's either kill or save a druid.
Either way, yeah.
Because the suspense, I've had diarrhea all week.
Oh, bless your scapes.
Yeah.
Always with your guts.
Well, funny you should say that. As on that note, I suppose we should probably play some D&D, really.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Mortal Kombat. No pop, wrong reference.
Should we play some D&D?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so
let's make a new character sheet.
Pock comes back as Pock the Wyatt.
Pock Mark 2.0.
Half druid.
Half man.
Zombie.
Half man, half druid. That's
half man, half druid.
That, like, you don't class druids as people.
When he wild shaped for the very last time, just his hand was still a bear.
Hoping that the next wild shape will be the last wild shape.
Got a nice hairy palm then, yeah.
Really hairy.
Luke Haru, I've missed a couple of weeks, so I have no idea what's going on, but possibly that's not always a bad thing. Lekimakon, Pox fucked.
That's pretty much the summary, so we don't need to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens last week.
They rolled.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I don't really know what to do with the recap. So basically, like, when we first started, for the first sort of 15 episodes or so, like, I was always like, roll a dice and you guys recap. And then I decided that I wanted to be more like the glass cannon. So I started doing all of the recaps because then I could kind of shape it a bit better.
Ooh.
But I don't know, what do you guys prefer? Do you
love it when you do it?
You love it when
I like it when you do it.
Yeah, you do it really well.
I knew that I'd say that as well.
No, well, it's actually not just that, because I actually enjoy it being chosen to do it, even though I pretend I don't. But the thing is you do it very well, Luke. Like, you do it very well, and then it has some continuity between, like, the episodes, rather than us just going, and what was it? Like, you say you don't plan, but you have thought about it all week, and you actually have.
I've been thinking about it all week. I've been stressing all week. So, pig behind.
Of course, you have. You're Luke. You stress all the time.
I've done no prep. The new job is taken up on one. Normally, I could cheekily, whilst I'm working, do some prep or in the evenings. But I've been so knackered in the evenings, and I'm finishing work later. So then I'm spending time with the kids, and then we watch telly and have a cuddle or whatever with the wife. Like, so I don't have any time to do anything. So I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, you do an amazing job.
Oh, yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
And like every 10 minutes. Fuck, okay. What's going to happen?
I've always said, so I don't know if it will ruin the listening experience or not, but I've always said that, like, if you guys die, you die. If it's through the game, through the rules and the mechanics, if there's bad rolls or you just fuck up and you die, then that's going to happen. there are mechanics in the game to be brought back to life, though I really don't like them. I think it cheapens. I think it cheapens the risk just factor like, of the game. But that's neither here.
Like that good genre.
However, I would never deliberately put you in a situation where there's no way out and you're going to die. And last week, that's basically what I did. I was building tension for the sake of the story. So don't stress your little hairs. Just listen to the story.
Yeah, but it's whether you like you've got to cash in on that now, haven't
you? I do, yeah. We'll see.
No, whoa.
We'll see.
Oh, however, I heard a dice roll.
I just dropped one. I got me metal nuggets in my hands. I'm doing that kind of like Chinese patience thing where you spin around in your hands. And I just dropped one. Don't panic yet. You're not dead. Yeah.
He's not yet dead.
So, right. So side quest of a side quest of a side quest. You basically are after Droop being captured and Carp Borderlift being captured, you by some orcs and on a raid in the middle of the night, you chase them down to Wyvern Tor. You found a secret, say secret entrance, you found a chimney basically in the side of the hillside and scaled down it when you came into a kitchen. Quite lucky really, because that came out right next door to their prison, to the jail cells inside there, and you managed to rescue both Droop and Carp and also another one of the mercenaries in the group called Dodd. And we had a brief discussion as to what you're going to do about it. Now Pock, completely true to his nature, said, fuck this, this is a small child, we're getting him out. So Pock left with Carp, and can't fault that at all. Brilliant piece of role playing. The rest of the group were like, well, the GM's clearly got a whole dungeon here. Like, maybe we should go and set it out. No, but the rest of the group, again, it was quite conflicted and it was brilliant. I think I did this speak at the beginning of last week's episode as well, is that, you know, these orcs, you know, they're planning an attack on Phandalin. So you were weighing up the options, the needs of the many against the needs of the few. You know, yes, we've got a small child, but if we don't deal with this now, potentially lots of innocent people could be killed. So you split the group. You agree that you're going to go in. Pock's going to take Carp away and wait for you on the side, a couple of miles away on the side of the mountain where you first overlooked, when you found Wyvern Tor and overlooked the hillside. The rest of the group go back in. You kill a lot of orcs. You sneak through there. You're quite good at this. You did it at Cragmore Castle initially as well. You snuck in, you've room by room, taken them out very, very stealthily. To the point where even you come across a room with sort of some kind of bigger orc in there called an Orog, who I think is designed to be some kind of mini boss, and you just obliterate him. He didn't even get a single attack. You stormed in and fucked up the entire room. Brilliant. And then you kind of go, well, we're all a bit knackered now. We've used up our spells, we've used up our healing, let's go and rest somewhere. So you're like, let's leave. You go back to the kitchen to where you left your rope hanging down the chimney to find that it had been cut and had fallen down the chimney and landed in the fire, and it's just burnt away. There's that way you're no longer going to be able to use shit. How do we get out? The only other way that you know is out is you did find the front door. There was a massive chasm with a rope bridge across, but you cut that bridge yourselves and there's now a 30-foot gap with no way across. So you're like, well, we need to think about this. Let's barricade ourselves into this room and we're going to take a rest. Meanwhile, Pock is traveling through the countryside with Carp and they're talking, and Carp's like, what's going on? Why didn't they come with us? Are they going to be safe? Are they going to be all right? When you hear this horn blow out, you pick up the pace and you keep going. A short while after, maybe about an hour of traveling, and you're probably about halfway to this kind of mountainside, you're still in the hills and everything in the countryside, when you get ambushed by some orcs. They throw javelins out. Pock grabs Carp and tells him to run. Whatever you do, don't stop. Run. Take this dagger, take some rations, and you run and you get to Phandalin. You don't stop unless I find you or you get there. Don't stop. Carp goes. Pock wild shapes. What's he going to do? You know, is he going to stand? Is he going to fight and try and save by Carp some time? He throws off. What's the spell you used at the end that ensnares him? Entangling something.
Entangle. Yeah, I think,
that slows him down. You transform into the wolf. And you run in an opposite direction, hoping that they're going to follow you. Who knows if they did or didn't. As you're running, there's a horn going out, and then another horn answers, and another group of orcs come out. They're out. They're hunting. They know that you're out here. Fight ensues. Pock surrounded. You lose your wild shape, and we cut to black. So, everybody, you're in the kitchen. You've just barricaded the door. What are you doing? You have no idea what happened to Pock. You don't know any of that at all. All you know is you're stuck in here.
Guys, I just felt a disturbance in the force.
Like two voices cried out at once.
Yeah. Exactly like that. Yeah. It was exactly like that. Oh, watch out, sad people.
We're all pretty down on stuff, aren't we? Is anyone like low on health?
Nah, my health's pretty good. I'm still like on 23 points, but we were going to rest, weren't we? We were going to barricade.
We're going to try
and try and rest because the bridge was down, and we think that that's the only other way into here, don't we? Unless we invest.
Yeah, we do. I mean, but like 8 hours is I suppose it's a long time, but yeah. I mean, is it because, see, okay, so we could take a long rest here, mm-hmm. but what would that mean? That means that, as far as we're concerned, that would probably give Pock enough time to get back to Phandalin with the boy.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Well, at least a decent head start. It's still like a week away, isn't it, Phandalin?
That's a couple of days.
How far?
A couple of days.
But he's agreed to meet you, like, and he's going to wait for you on that mountainside. And he knew that you were coming back in here, and you were probably going to take. Yeah, it's going to, you know, it's going to take you a while to work this out. And he said he'd wait for you, but how long would he wait for you? You don't know.
This is the thing. So, like, what I'm saying is, like, are we better off creating a distraction here, or? Well, I mean, we're going to have to, but
yeah.
I don't know. What are we going to do?
We've been up to the northeast here, haven't we? Is there a path to the northwest?
You didn't explore much, no. So you went, you won't be able to see
it.
Down
the east side, basically.
Yeah.
Although, so maybe you did we west. Should explore more. You went up, you went north.
Yeah.
There was a big, big room that went down to the southeast, and you didn't explore down there at all. You went straight out to the north where there was a corridor. There was a room to the east where you first fought a group of orcs. Then you went all the way to the other end, to the west. You went past a door. There were some stairs going up in a room that you didn't go in. You found the statue that had the trap, and you found the other room.
Twice.
Yeah, so you've been northwest, never eat shredded wheat, but you haven't been anywhere else yet. You know the front door is west.
Right, okay. So
maybe we need to head west then. Do we need to take a rest first? I'm 4 points below full health, so I'm on 24 and I've got maximum of 28.
Below maximum.
We've got no way of getting across that chasm if we go to the front door. It might be better to try and look for another exit.
Yeah, that's what I think.
On the west side where we haven't explored.
I agree with that.
Like, it's all of it's risky. We're in a pickle.
We are, yeah.
Do we need a rest?
Yeah, because if we rest, I mean, none of you guys got spell slots.
I'm going to be pretty useless.
I could use a rest, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm happy to rest up. How long does it take to build a bridge?
We can try. We can try and rest. Just
does it take to build a bridge?
Love can build a bridge.
Well,
mechanically,
I mean, what would you get from a rest? You'll get some hit points back.
Spell slots.
You're getting back on a short or long rest?
Long.
So you're talking about taking an 8-hour nap. When you know, asleep in the middle of an enemy base in their kitchen. Yeah,
the way I'm looking at it is if they come towards the back, maybe we could booby trap the barricade, right? Because at the end of the day, they're going to attack Phandalin. So, as the more we can kill here, and we're pretty fucked anyway, I say we try to take a long rest. If they find us, then we set our booby trap to fuck them up and then we go running into them. Because at the end of the day, we are in the middle of their base, but in the same way, we don't want them to go to Phandalin. So if they come across us and they're like, oh, there's a barricade here, hey, we can hopefully get a rest. But even if we don't, we get up, we blow our trap, and then we fuck them up.
Yeah.
Do we have anything we can set a booby trap with?
That's a very good point.
Well, you know, it was a start, isn't it? You know,
I like the idea. Yeah, I like the idea of having a layer of at least a sort of stopgap layer of protection for however long we stay in here.
Let's see what we've got.
What would
we could also just go and just carry on the plan originally, searching, even though we're low on spells, and just keep researching, trying to get out of here.
We can do that too. It all depends how much you guys need new spells.
I've got two left.
I've got one slot.
I've got 23 hit points out of 34, which is probably okay.
Yeah, my health's all right. It's just those two slots. Maybe I'm being too cautious.
Let me just check my... I've got no lay on hands left, so I've got no heals left. Obviously, I can fight. I've got one spell slot. I can save it for heals, but it ain't going to be a big heal.
Do we have any potions?
Don't we have a potion each?
Oh, yeah, we do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we found them in the barracks. We can heal that up and see what happens.
Well, what are the healing potions? What are they, a
D6? D4 plus
2. Okay, well, let's just save them for if we need them, I suppose.
Yeah.
Unless you want to take one now, because that would be... See, you if you roll a 10, you can still benefit from all of it. If I roll it now, yeah. I've only got 4, so...
Yeah, okay, I'll roll and use mine. So, 4 and a 1.
What are you doing, rolling for?
His healing potion.
You're going to waste the healing potion?
He's going to use his one.
Why don't you just take a short rest?
Why? How long does a short rest last?
An hour.
And what does that give you back?
Well, you've got hit dice that you can expend on your character sheet. And you're 4th level, you've got 4 hit dice that you can use.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Plus, you get Medicine Song of Rest. I mean, it's still a bit of a gamble, an hour's rest, but I mean, who knows?
Well, maybe we should do that.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right for an hour.
Because I'll roll a hit die.
Okay, so what's the hit die? 1d8 plus 2.
If that's what's on your character sheet, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can use up to 4 of them. In your wrist.
Okay. So that's a 2 plus 2. That's a 4. And I'll do another one. That's a 4 plus 2. So 10. So that's 10. So I'm back up to 33.
I don't know how to do mine.
So on your character sheet, when you...
Oh, right. I hit a 1d10.
Plus your constitution modifier.
1d10, total 4.
Yeah. So you can roll that up to 4 times.
But roll plus, 1.
Plus on your constitution modifier if you have it.
Oh, look, there you go, 10. So, yeah, I've got full health.
What's the other guy at?
Yeah, what a droop in the...
Droop and Dodd. I can't remember that if Dodd...
Oh, that was it.
Dodd,
did he
full health?
Did he
I don't think Dodd took any damage at all.
Oh, Dodd's with us, yeah.
Dodd's with you, yeah. And so is... Droop. Droop's like, hey, yeah, I definitely think just don't waste your potion. Let's just have a short rest. Just rest, catch our breath, we'll be all right. Makes much more sense.
Sensible, Droop.
Sensible.
But we end up getting into a situation where we end up listening to Droop for all of our information and actually end up worshipping him and giving him our shoes, basically.
Oh, have you by any chance listened to the podcast that got released today?
I have not listened to it yet, no. That was episode 23.
Yeah. Depending on how far we get, there's something that Scapes could possibly do whilst atop this mountain.
Not in public, surely.
So the last episode that I edited, we were down in Merilu's little cave.
Yeah, yeah.
And we found we had to consecrate... The bodies.
Yeah.
So to consecrate the bodies, you took the shoes off of the body on the desk.
Sounds about right.
You threw one into the pit of despair and you promised to bury the other one on the highest mountain you could find, which you are possibly currently on or in. So while you're up
here, are you saying that shoe has like magical bomb properties? And if I bury it, we will win.
If you don't, you technically haven't consecrated fuck all.
Oh shit, man! I'm so glad.
That was your last.
I'm so glad I just remembered that as Pop's dying.
Right?
His last dying memory came to me in the fall.
While you're on top of the mountain, bury the shoe.
Yeah, that's true. Can I bury the shoe, please, Luke?
I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm sure that you would have done that in downtime. That's fine.
Yeah, let's just say I buried the shoe before Pock left, because Pock gripped my arm like that, and he was like, "Bury the shoe."
I left, just took him aside,
and I was like, "Oh, you're at the door. Sorry, mate.
Have my arcane totem also bury the shoe."
Oh, so yeah. Bury the shoe. Oh, God, were those last words? Bury the shoe.
Yeah. I will always remember him by his last words. We bury a shoe every Tuesday to remember
him. Oh, right. He can't die now because that cannot be the, like, one of the
just like one paladin, like, burying a shoe every Tuesday.
It'd be funny if you accidentally bury Droop's shoe.
Oh, I wouldn't bury Droop's shoe. I think I'm starting to realise that Droop is probably the way, the truth, and the light.
Yeah, of course.
I think James Scapes is falling in love, isn't he?
Yeah, sort of. But it's more like a spiritual love.
Yeah.
Like, you know. It's deeper than just love, man.
Deeper shade of blue.
Yeah.
Deeper shade of Droop.
Yeah, that's right.
There we go.
So you're rested. An hour goes by and nothing happens.
We've not heard anything. Anyone come back, move around, notice anything?
Well, you've just been barricaded. Have you
been looking?
I would like to take a peek past our barricade, please, sir.
Go for it. Move your piece. You look out back into that room. You pull down your barricade a little bit, and you see the room you had before: boxes, crates, beds, where the jail cell was. It's quiet.
Okay, guys. I think we need to make our move. Should we head east or west?
West, I think we said, didn't we?
I think I that's my vote.
Yeah.
Not that I'm always right. I just don't see how we're getting across that chasm.
Yeah, west sounds good. Do you think we should take some of this fire to throw at our enemies?
Yeah, we have torches. We could light them.
Oh, have we got anything metal we can... Anyway, yeah, sorry, that was just a little, you know...
little bit of role play for you?
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, fire. Enemies hate fire.
Scapes has been staring into the flames.
We need this.
For an hour.
Go on, let's go. We've got to make it out of here.
Yeah, I just wonder.
As you come out, there's a corridor to your right, which is the east, snaking round. You've got jail cells down to the south, to the west. You've got the corridor. The end of that corridor is the doors where the chasm was, or you can go north, which is the way that you went previously.
So we want to go right then.
We want to go to the east.
Which is east.
Never eat shredded wheat.
Okay, so do we want to go east?
I'm totally ballsed up left and right. Sorry.
Yeah. Scapes has legged it up there. I'm going.
Yeah, Droop's got his light. Yeah, Droop's got his light. He's like, oh, look, boss, some crates.
There's a there's some stuff. There's some stuff. Just wait for me to check the guide because I'm not prepared. Because I thought that we weren't going to play tonight because Scapes is computer fucked, so I stopped getting ready.
I packed away. I was like, oh shit.
Oh man, my computer just likes fucking with me. It's like literally, it worked this morning. It was like, yeah, go on, James, have fun, mate. And then I stopped, and then it was just like, no. It's like, yeah. Now you've told everyone that you can't do it. Yeah, now.
So, you come in there, so again you've got Droop's like, yeah, look, oh shit, wrong button, hold on, right, okay. There's a haphazard stacks of loads of crates and barrels and sacks in there, and look in this, it's quite a long cavern by the looks, to the north. I think that's where we were before. If you go up north that way around the corner, that's where the long stone passageway is where we went. But look, over there, there's there's a passageway going down to the south there, and there appears to be some kind of well or something over there. Do you want me to go and have a look?
Maybe Burr should go and have a look. He's probably...
And it's like, that looks lovely. Oh, it's the real south murky water inside here.
So there's a well with murky water in it. Or what was the other way, sorry?
So basically, to the north of where you are, you can see a passageway that's choked with boxes and crates. You've got a passageway going down to the south. Or if you were to head up into this room in the kind of westward direction, it's quite long, and you can see from here where you were earlier on up there.
That looks like a giant toilet.
Yeah, it is a giant toilet.
It's a bit of a giant toilet.
That's no magic jacuzzi.
Can I just point you down this southern path just over there?
Yeah, I think south would be a good way to go. It's
like a country.
Yeah.
Walk my hair down the southern path.
So far, nothing.
Yeah, so you head down there, about 20 foot, if that, and it just ends in a dead end. Would you like to roll?
Could the,
A perception check?
Yes, please.
Let's see if there's any trap.
And also, can anyone sense magic?
Natural 20.
Whoop, whoop.
Can 10. Anyone sense magic? I'm proficient in Arcana. I don't know if I can sense it. I've got detect magic.
No, so yeah, you need to detect magic. You need a spell to do it, or it's an ability. Mm. Arcana is more like it's an intelligence check, so it's knowing about books and spells and like glyphs and runes and things like that. So yeah, whoever rolled a 20, as you get down there, there's basically a secret door. Very clever. Cleverly constructed to blend in. Would you like to try and open it?
Check it for traps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roll yes, please,
investigation.
Who's rolling investigation?
Well, I've just rolled.
I'm proficient, so I'm going to roll 20.
I rolled 15.
Dirty 20.
Dirty 20 on investigation. This room is clear.
Perfect.
I sense the room is clear beneath this door.
Onward.
So the door goes down, then the corridor kind of goes in a bit of a zigzag, goes further south, and ends in another dead end.
Seems like a dead end down here. Can I investigate?
Yeah.
I'm going to investigate again. Natural Ooh. 20.
Oh, nice.
So what you see, there's a blank wall, and covered all over it appears to be, I don't know, everybody... It's a language you can't read. You don't know what it is, but it's like there's writing.
Infernal, celestial.
Scratched into it. I know that none of you speak the language at all on there. You investigate the door. And yes, it definitely appears like this is another secret door.
I can't seem to read the writing on this, but there's definitely a door here. Droop, have you any ideas?
Nah, let me just check what languages I speak.
Maybe a druid would understand.
Oh shit, if only we had one with us.
Some of this looks a little bit like goblin, but it's just a bit different. Maybe orcish.
Drow, maybe?
Nah, orcish. That's like elven, that is.
And can we get through this door anyway?
I mean, if you want. Is there anything on the other side?
I love check it for traps.
Have we checked if it opens, actually?
Well, I mean. Yeah, I'll give you that with your investigation. I mean, really, someone should probably roll perception, whatever that is. I don't know, these words coming out of my mouth, I don't know what they mean.
You mean someone should 13. Try it? I'll try it all. 10.
Well.
Oh, I suppose I'll roll for Dodd. I don't know what his plus is, but...
Go on, Dodd.
That's a 9.
Go on, Dodd. Plus Dodd's 14.
Doesn't hear anything. Yeah, I can't hear anything either, I'm afraid. It's pretty quiet in there.
Dodd's got his Walkman on.
Dodd's in Dolby.
Yeah.
We need to try and... Well,
we're going to have to go through the door, aren't we?
We're going this way. Let's try and push on if we can.
I barge through the door. As a paladin, I just smash it through.
Okay. Bang. Boom. The secret door pivots open to reveal a chamber of finished stonework. The room is cluttered with crude furnishing and the air is hazy with the smoke of a small cooking fire. Dozens of yellowed skulls are suspended from the ceiling by fraying ropes strung through holes punched in the bone. Stop moving your pieces around into the walls.
That's me. I'm allowed. I'm not really here.
An orc. In ragged black robe, looks up from her work, her face twisted in an expression of rage.
What are you? What? 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 Yeah.
So, is she talking to us?
Yes.
She pissed. Just...
Guards, attack!
Roll initiative, everybody.
Can I be in the room now?
Well, you can just wait a second. 10,
16.
Oh, I'm so impatient with everything.
I've got to get you all.
Initiative 9.
Okay, you ready? Who is up first? What do you do?
Shoot a bolt at the scary looking one. Is it possible to shoot through scapes or move past him?
Oh, well, you can shoot through him, but I will. There'll be a slightly higher. It'll be like a bit of cover. But yeah, you can do it.
I'll stay behind him. Human shield. 12 against
12 demon. Against this poison. Yes, misses.
Okay, that's it.
You're gonna stay there. Okay.
Stay. I'm going to try and keep some distance between us.
Cool.
So I can stick with my crossbow.
Right, so you're staying in that corridor. So you're all still in that corridor. The doors burst open and Scape's at the front. She's like, what? Yeah. God, attack! And then you shot.
Stay in the corridor.
Super reflexes. Millicent lets out a bolt and misses, trying to just get it round Scape's as he's standing in the doorway, dick hanging. Burr, you're up.
Can I run in there?
If you want to. You're at the back. You can, you've got your movement.
Run in and run back out.
Run if I can. I've got 25 on. 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't see what's going on at the moment, so that's a wall. So
I think we're pretending it's not a wall.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm in another wall. Where the hell?
So if you go there,
right, okay, so
perhaps you can't see.
I'm in the wall.
But you're in the right. Secret door. So, the secret door. That's where you are.
Yep, secret door.
So you've moved 20. You can move 5 more.
Then I'll move to here, and then attack Orc Face.
Right, Orc Mick Orc.
15.
That will be a hit.
It's 2 plus 3, it's 5. Nice. 2 plus 4, that's 6.
Yeah.
And then my sneak attack. 5 plus 3, 9, 10, 11 in total.
Oof. You stab that orc.
To death.
To death.
Nice.
That is proper Brixton style, man. Good job.
Shanked.
And it falls, doesn't even know what happened at all. Dodd is up at the back.
What's his name?
Dodd!
Dodd!
I'll save you!
Oh, shit. I can only land in the wall.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, that's door. Like in the doorway.
Oh, I see. Okay. He can't do anything, can he?
He can't.
Oh, let's doubly bubbly.
Storm the room.
Storm the room.
Double movement.
Can he jump up onto the table?
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
Fuck it. He's doing that.
Ha! You are foul orcish fiend. You shall rue the day that you attacked my friends and company.
One
my name is Dodd. You killed my father.
I am
Dodd the Conqueror.
Prepare to die.
Dodd the Bloodless.
All right, Scape, show up.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to charge into here. And what I'd like to do, DM, is I'd like to strike this guy in the head. I'd like to try to stab him through the face with my right-handed blade.
Yep.
And then as my second move, let go of that blade and bring out my shield.
So you're going to leave it in his face?
Like, as my bonus. Basically, like, whether it hits or not, my next thing I want to do is prepare with my shield for the next attack.
Right. There's rules about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I'm afraid I am not up on them. Sorry.
Right.
It's about to get real exciting, folks.
It's a case of whether I suppose I can draw my shield as a bonus action, isn't it?
Is readying a weapon or a shield an action? That's the question.
Right, so with the weapon, it wouldn't be for you because you've got the feat, but with a shield, it's whether it counts as armour, because there are rules.
Oh, I see, like donning. Putting on armour.
Yeah.
Can I equip a shield as a bonus action?
Thing is that, I would say not as a bonus action. No, you'd have to use a full action to do it because it's going to be strapped to your back, isn't it? So you're going to have to
get it off your back. Yeah, I do understand.
So I would say that for now, I'm going to say it's going to take a full action to do that.
All right, well, in that case, I'm just going to go ahead and just go for this guy in front of me. Just hit him with the sword, but in a slicing motion rather than a stabbing motion. And I'll get advantage because I'm cool. No. All right. Okay.
What I should have done,
mate. I was not going to question that.
13.
On the one. No, it's not there.
No. All right. Well, I'm going to swing with my second attack for 12.
And I was right. To don a shield takes an action. So yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. So I've just missed with both attacks.
Oh shit!
Super.
Whoa. But I'm standing there all scary. So yeah.
Oh, excellent. Okay, it is now her turn. So she's going to cast a spell. What I'm just trying to do is find her fucking stat for it.
It's 2.
Scapes, can you please make a wisdom saving throw?
Oh, computer's died. I'm going to have to leave. Like, oh, sorry, guys.
Don't even joke.
8.
Well, the first one was a 3. So, but I rolled, you've rolled it twice.
Okay, I didn't, okay. We add them together. It's 11, isn't it? So
she looks you square in as you, she dodges both your attacks and she just looks at you and says, flee.
And I just come in my pants right there, losing 4 damage. No, so what, she says flee?
Yes. On your...
Do I start itching?
On your turn, you will need to spend your entire turn moving away from this creature in the fastest available means, which means double movement on your next turn, just running away.
Wow.
Oh, man.
See, the...
Does that continue to the turn after? Does he just keep going?
It's just one turn.
Like Forrest Gump. Okay.
Yeah, right. It's just one turn, unfortunately. That would have been pretty cool if it was...
It's all the way back to Phandalin.
Yeah. Forrest escapes. Yeah.
So you cast the spell Command. You speak a one-word command to a creature you can see within range, and the target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or follow the command for its next turn. The spell has no effect if the target is undead. You're not undead, are you? Secrets coming out?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was going to actually go with that, but no. That was when I was younger.
Right, so that is an action. That's her done, and then she'll just... and then she moves, so Dodge can take an attack of opportunity.
13.
Miss.
Cool. I haven't plussed anything to that.
Oh, okay.
So you're supposed to be adding 2, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 2 inside last time. Still a miss, yeah.
15.
It's a miss, yeah. Who's up next?
Droop.
Droop.
Which I play. So I think Droop really wants to give Scapes a hug, and he's going to caress both of Scapes' legs really hard.
Go on, then.
Can he actually try that?
If that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, man. Who wants to rugby tackle Scapes?
Okay. That'll be a grapple attack.
That's okay. So... looking prone. Right, and that's technically half movement to stand again, isn't it?
What am I rolling for that then?
Grapple.
Is this D20, is it?
Yeah.
Let's have a look. It's only a 4 anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It misses. Yeah, I'm fairly certain it's just it's like an attack contested dexterity check. I think you make like a strength check versus a strength check or something.
Oh, well, he fucked it big time then.
He kind of just runs in, jumps to grab him, but then just kind of like, it's like jumping into a wall because Scapes is huge, and then just drops down to the ground. Like, it didn't work. I'm only 3 foot tall. Never mind. Worth a crack.
Great idea, though.
Yeah.
Okay, it is an orc's turn, who is going to swing at Scapes. I'm going to give this orc advantage based on the fact that Scapes is unable to defend himself properly.
What, because of fleas?
Because you've got
fleas. I've dealt with fleas all my life. It's not a problem.
And I rolled on my nice, shiny new birthday metal dice. I rolled... 16 on this one, plus whatever modifier would be, but on the advantage die on this one, a nat 20.
8.
Natural 20, boy. Natural 20, boy.
What do you want, a medal?
You have a great axe, which does a d12 damage plus a modifier.
So that's 12 plus modifier plus a roll.
19 points of damage.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Cleaves down. Smashes you.
Oh, and I felt that. Oh man. Ow. That leaves me with 9 points.
Boom. Shit. Millicent, your turn.
Am I prone? Surely I'm prone. Give me that.
No.
Oh man, after that, are you sure?
Yeah.
Surely my movement is at least reduced.
Okay, Millicent, standing in the corridor.
Yeah, I'm going to have to move in because I can't see anyone. This guy die? Did
that
I miss
him? That guy is dead, yeah.
He's dead. Oh,
finished him off quite quickly.
So I'll move into this side of Burr and try and attack this dude. 21.
Oh, nice.
Piercing shot.
5 damage.
Is it a modifier?
Not amazing, but you know, every little hack.
It's 1d8 plus 3, so then I rolled a 2 on the d8. Mm. So.
For 5 points of damage.
What are you going to do?
Bonus action.
I will cast Healing Word as a bonus action on Scapes.
Does that kill me?
It gives you hit points, yep. So let me roll it.
Oh.
60 feet, 1d4, 6 points healed, Scapes.
Yay, thank you all.
All right. I mean, you can't be dying. Well, if you die, you can't run away. But
yeah,
<That's it.
laughs> at least you're up. I don't know.
At least you're up to run.
Yeah,
it's something.
Surely I can trip over all these people.
To be fair, you might slip over on your own blood from that attack.
Yeah, it's true.
Just like gouging out of you, more than half your health.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is me.
Okay, Burr's up.
I'm going to move in and attack the guy. That's an 18 plus.
Little hit.
Plus 4, so 6.
Which one were you going for? The orc in front of you?
Yeah, yeah.
So 6 points of damage.
Yeah.
Not looking too healthy, that one.
No. I am going to disengage and move out.
Okay, you can certainly do that.
Yeah.
You are. So that orc cannot make an attack of opportunity.
But I've got...
How much feet of movement have you got left?
I've got... So I have 25.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you can use your bonus action as the rogue to disengage. That's fine, yeah.
Yeah.
Dodd! Aha!
Droop currently has his arms wrapped around Scapes' legs. Is that correct?
I'm going to... not to metagame too much, because all you guys know is that she said flee. Like, do you really know?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I was kind of like the fact that Luke let me do that was kind of really kind. Because
I was going to go for that old thing where...
You really know what's going to happen.
If we all just rugby tackle Scapes, it's a bit like,
jump off the table,
a bit of a weird time for a group hug.
You know when you get someone to kneel down behind your mate and you push him over? That's what
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Okie doke, I will... jump to here and have a go at what's his face. Rolled a 12, so 14
plus 2,
on the
I don't know what my
on the orc. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yeah,
that'll be a hit.
Yeah. Was it a D6? Wasn't it? I think.
Yes, D6.
Yeah, that's a 3. Okay. I don't know what that plus is though.
Plus 4, I think it is.
Plus 4. Piss off.
Yeah.
Plus 2.
It is for a sword, isn't it?
I think it was a 2 or 1. 1 or 2, I think we said.
Yeah. 2, at least.
So what did you roll on the die?
3.
Yeah, so Dodd kills this orc.
Yeah.
Hey, go on, Dodd.
Well done, Dodd.
Aha! Escapes. You must use your entire turn to run away. That's 60 feet.
You bravely ran away.
So that's going to put you...
Oh, you might as well move me because I'm not willing to do it. I protest. Oh, you wanker. fleas. I hate fleas. Even though I'm bald, I hate fleas.
Right. No, I need to.
Yeah, he is bald. Like,
you did a picture, didn't you? I forgot about that.
And he actually shaves his balls as well. So,
balls.
Crabs ain't an option, balls. Really.
Right. So. She pulls out like a potiony looking thing from her robes and throws it into the middle of the group.
Okay, this running away thing's looking a bit nicer right now.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's a bit shit. I was expecting it.
A bunny is created.
A vicious bunny.
Mm. Oh, don't. We've seen Monty Python, man. That can go hideously wrong.
The bunny fires insults at your party, damaging their egos.
Yeah, fuck it. At Droop.
Oh no!
I'm fucking running straight back in there, mate.
Right, I've got a character sheet for Droop. That's gonna hit. So she pulls out this flask and lobs it at Droop, and it smashes on him and just bursts and erupts into flames.
Oh, what?
He takes 4 points of damage.
Burr gets hungry.
4 points of damage, but this kind of sticky goop is just burning, burning and burning. It's not going out. He's on fire. Basically, he's on
fire. Napalm, though, mate.
She then opens this door.
Door?
Yeah, there's a door here.
That's a bonus action.
It's a free action opening your door.
Turning around, though.
Well, that's actually a good point. That was her main action. Then as a bonus action, she starts muttering some incantations.
Oh, man.
And this ethereal... ethereal spear starts floating right next to Burr. It's this ghostly blue spear, and that will attack Burr, rolling a 18.
Yeah, it's...
And you will take
mate.
4 points of damage as this floating spiritual spear. Then she opens the door and she goes through here.
Yeah, nice one. Good one, James.
And runs up there.
I suppose there's a chimney above her fire, isn't there?
Ah, she's probably trying to get out, though, isn't she? So, or get mates.
I can see through the door. Let's go back the other way.
Is there peoples in there? Droop can only see a slice.
All I can see is corridor and something else I can't figure out.
As she does so, and she opens the door and runs out, you hear flapping. Bat-like creatures fly into the room.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And start swarming around the room. They don't quite look like bats.
They look like Donald Trump.
I'll see if there's a description. So this horrid flying creature looks like a cross between a large bat and an oversized mosquito. Its legs end in sharp pincers and its long needle-like proboscis slashes the air as it seeks its next meal. And they flap into the room.
Flappy cunts.
Has the blue thing dispersed?
Nope, still.
Or is it still there?
Still there.
Spiritual weapon, I reckon.
Yeah.
That for D&D knowledge.
Yeah. If we knew a bit more, we'd probably be able to sort that out.
If we knew anything, we would be not playing right now.
I cast Charm Spiritual Weapon.
That's crap. Anyway, who's up next?
Droop. Okay. He would like to just go here and then attack this waspy thing. Ah, get away. Yeah. I'm Luke. I can do voices.
Hey, guys.
Hey. There he is.
All right, cool. So he can certainly make an attack against that
thing. Well, wrong.
Sturge. It's a Sturge. Roll a d20. He's using a short sword.
That's 11 plus 18, so that's 29.
Plus 4. Hit. 11 plus 4.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Excellent. So that's a 15. That was undoubtedly going to hit these things.
Oh.
I haven't got the character sheet in front of me, but yeah.
I don't know what his damage is.
So a short sword is d6 plus something.
That's 6 plus...
2.
Whatever. 2, so 8.
Nice.
Hey-ya!
He manages to successfully kill this bat creature. Orc is dead. Millicent, you are up.
Okay. I'm going to aim for the furthest one if I can. So this one over here.
Mm-hmm.
Crossbow. That's not going to do it, I don't think. 10.
Get in line and see if you can do like 2.
10 is a miss, I'm afraid.
Just like Legolas.
What's the deal of changing weapons?
So it's an action to change a weapon. Technically, it's an action to draw a weapon, but you can drop an item for free, so you can drop your weapon on the floor.
Same difference in it, really. All right, I'll think about it for the next time.
Yeah, Burr, yeah. You are up.
So I take it I'm going to get attacked by this spear if I move.
Maybe.
No, maybe. Okay. Well, I'm going to attack it anyway. I mean, I don't know how we kill these things, if we can kill it, but I'm going to attack the spear.
Okay. That's a very good question. Let me check the description of the spell. You attack the weapon. Go for it.
It's a 16 plus 6. 22.
Your rapier just passes straight through it.
Oh, man.
It's not even there.
What a wanker. No, it's fair play. Fair play, but, you know. Mm-hmm.
Cat's reactions like an angry like, girlfriend.
You know, when you're reading one of those books that like throughout the whole book you're kind of led into this false sense of security. It's like, oh, RDM's cool, man. He's a cool guy, like, you know, and lets us off a lot. And then all of a sudden you find yourself like a druid dead in the fucking forest, and like, you know,
unbeatable but, invisible weapon.
I'm just running away because I think I got fleas, you know.
Okay, well, that's my go, really, isn't it, I suppose? There's not anything else I can do.
No. Okay.
Not really.
Dodd, surrounded by these bat things. Hold on, shit, sorry. Droop had a go. I need to just do something with Droop. Droop takes another point of damage because he's on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Can I move through this thing's space, considering it's not taking up...
No.
Okay, I'll attack the one.
It's flapping around. Flapping around all his faces and stuff. Yeah, Droop's on fire. I forgot that, by the way.
Droop is on fire.
None of us have seen it.
Does Dodd have like any nets or anything like that on him?
No, he's got nothing. He was captured and had nothing at all.
Correct.
Not even wearing armor.
And not even a tea towel to try and.
Nope.
That's a 4 to hit.
That's a miss.
Dodd's shitting.
He killed the orc. He's the hero.
Oh, yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
Escapes.
I'd like to run back to my party. Okay. 10, 20, 30. Well, 30 is a start, obviously. Oh, ah.
Yeah. Wait.
That's 30. I'd like to do another movement, please.
Yeah.
That's 10, 20.
Basically, 60 foot will get you 30. Right back where you were, which is there. Yeah.
There you go. Aha! Yeah. That's it. I didn't have fleas after all. I'm back. After a mild treatment, I'm back.
So, this thing flaps around and basically lands like a mosquito on Dodd. Dodd digs its proboscis into him. He is going to take 3 points of... No, sorry, 4 points of damage, which I'll sort out in a second. And it just attaches on him.
Oh, shit.
That's gross,
alien style,
man.
Just...
That's this one.
That makes me feel creeped out.
Then Dodd had his
we should kill Dodd.
Attack one. Dodd is alive, but I don't know. And now it's this person's go again. So the spiritual weapon will take another attack against Burr.
Sake.
Rolling a 17 plus stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a D8 before, wasn't it? Oh, 8 points of damage. Droop is on fire. He is going to take another 4 points of damage. He's not looking good. He's screaming, help! Well, let's get this fire out.
He'd like to, as an action, he'd like to stop, drop, and roll,
stop,
please.
Stop, drop, and roll.
I mean, like, obviously, I want him to attack, but
yeah,
like,
so
what he would
he
do.
Needs to take a DC 10 dexterity check. Probably should have done that before, but I forgot about it.
So
I rolled, but you can roll if you want. And
10.
That's a success.
Yay. On fire now?
Stop, drops, and rolls and managed to extinguish the flames.
Jolly good.
Cool. That'll be his action. We have this thing here, which will come down.
Kill him.
And attack.
Scapes.
High or low, Scapes? High or low?
Both. No, high. High.
High. High it is. So it's going to go for Droop, yeah?
What?
high. and it misses you. It comes in, can't get past your armor and stuff, but it's flapping around you trying to bite you.
I'm already a bit twitchy from all the fleas, so it's like, yeah, easy.
I reckon this one will probably come at you as well, seeing that Dodd's already being taken care of. Oh my god, where'd that go? These metal dice bounce. That's going to miss you as well. But you've got these two Sturges, bat giant mosquito things, just flapping around you, and you're managing to bat them off with your swords, parry them away, duck and dive and dodge.
Back on form.
And then, Millicent, it's your turn.
Would you allow me to drop my crossbow and ready my two short swords?
No, because you can only draw one weapon of an action. Unless you take the two-handed weapon fighting feat, which is what Scapes has taken. You need a feat to do it.
You need then two feet, in fact.
Drop my crossbow and just ready my short sword.
Yeah, you can.
As an action, right?
As an action, so you can still attack. Yeah.
Wait, what?
So you can draw. You can draw your sword as part of your attack action. So you can't draw two, but you can drop.
So I can still swing this round.
Still swing this round.
Yay. Cool. That's good. All right. She's gonna head up. One, two. She's gonna take the other side of this dude and swing. Bada 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 bada.
Swing bada 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 bada.
15.
Advantage.
Oh yeah, it's flanked. Hey.
How did you get around there?
Natural 20. Oh wait.
You can take an opportunity of an attack from the other one.
10, 15. Oh, will I? Wait, what?
Yeah. Well, from this dude. Here.
Oh yeah, so you can go diagonal, of course.
5, 10, 15.
Yep. You have to go round the pieces, but yeah, you can do that. It's fine. I was like, yes. How do you get over that? Or climbing over a table, though. You'd have to climb over a table. That's going to be difficult terrain, isn't it?
Yeah, but she's a bard. She's used to being on tables.
Starsky and Hutch slide on a bonnet style. So,
she's a stripper. She's fucking used to it.
10 foot to there, and then that's going to be 20 foot. And then you can jump off to 25 foot and still make it. Boom.
Yeah. Yay.
Wonderful. So advantage still stands, my natural 20 still stands.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so disappointed, Luke.
You're going for that's fine. Don't worry about the damage. You're going to kill it. It's only got 2 hit points.
Oh, well, there we are.
Yeah. Explain to me in great graphic, gory details how you kill this Sturge with that critical hit.
I would like to turn this Sturge into a Sturge kebab. A Sturge cofter, if you will.
Is it kind of
up through the butthole, out through the mouth.
Okay.
Burr's going to love this.
I was thinking more like, what's that shitty app game, the Ninja Fruit game? On the phone. Yeah. It's just like, literally just obliterate it.
I want to have to spend a bonus action just sort of going, and flicking it off my sword.
Yeah.
So you can grab it. So it's flapping around Scapes' face, trying to bite at him, and you just stab through it, and your sword stops like an inch from Scapes' eye, and then you're like, just got this kebab Sturge.
Yeah, I'm cool. Flick it over to Burr off the end of my sword. Have a munch on that.
You doing any bonus action, Millicent?
No, I'm not.
Then it's Burr's.
So the one next to Millicent escapes is dead, yeah?
Yeah. Just this one left.
Just that one.
There is one dead next to Millicent and Scapes, and there is another one attached to Dodd.
Oh, yeah, but fuck Dodd, isn't it?
Fuck Dodd.
So he
might be the new fucking party member. Take it easy.
So there. And attack that Sturge. With a 19 plus. So yeah, that'll hit, won't it?
Yeah, boy.
Plus his face.
Yeah. And roll my 6. And I can. Is he dead?
He's dead, yeah.
Oh, hey. Wonderful.
Run into the next room.
Yeah, I can carry on running, can't I?
Sorry, that was just.
Yeah, you can.
That was.
I've got another 20 of movement. So 1, 2, and I think that's as far as I can go.
Cool. So you run through the door into that next room. Let me just describe it for everybody. So the ceiling soars 30 feet high in the centre of this impressive chamber, and the walls are carved with images of dwarves at their forges. 2 large stone doors exit to the north and south, and several old skeletons lie scattered near the northern door, as you can see from here. A gate of wrought iron stands in the western wall. In the centre of the door, a natural rift descends sharply, and dozens of stone steps lead down into darkness. You can hear the distant sound of running water and a curious buzzing coming from far below. You can see the shaman orc, who is standing sort of not far from you, just north, and another orc at the top, which is kind of just about to get running down to you.
And like Burr's in there on his own. Right?
And I'm in there on his head, yeah.
There's a Sturge. Ah, the one that's on Dodd is just going to and suck up some blood. While attached, the Sturge doesn't attack. Instead, at the start of each of the Sturge's turns, the target loses. That's the wrong dice. Don't want to roll that one. Shit. Another 4 points of damage. Dodd, all pale and sucked in, falls to the ground.
Ah, shit. I had something really fun planned next.
Don't worry, we'll save the prick.
And then the Sturge detaches itself and starts flapping around the room. At somebody. Oh, Millicent's just there. It will probably start flapping around Millicent, but it can't make an attack. So we've done it. Dodd is dead. Scapes.
I'm going to run over and attack this last bee thingamajig.
Cool.
Bee thingamajig.
For an 8.
I reckon. I don't know what their AC is. It's not high, but that's a miss.
Okay, second weapon, 17.
Oh, that's a hit.
Yeah. For 4 damage.
It dies.
Okay.
And it gets filled with blood, and you can see it's actually swollen in the belly. And as you see it, just pops and bursts blood everywhere, splashing both yourself and Millicent in Dodd's blood.
Okay, it's just Dodd's blood, though, right? It's not infectious alien shit or something.
No.
Okay, that's like that's on, that on the books.
Of. He's got Hep C, but that's a different storyline.
Yeah, well, you can only catch that once, so it don't matter. Yeah, cool. Well, I think I can't move anymore, can I?
So yeah, you've only moved 5 foot, so you've still got 25 feet of movement.
Oh, okay. Then I charge in here. Like, where is that fucking cunt?
You charge to there.
Mm.
You run up through the door.
I can't see very far because my eyesight is shit.
Yeah, I'm not sure if these rooms are supposed to be lit. There's no obvious candles or anything. So.
No sconces.
Yeah, no sconces or anything. So yeah, it's pretty dark. All these orcs have got dark vision, and so they don't need torches, I suppose. Right, we have an orc in this room who's going to charge. Not there at all. Let's cancel that. To there. Charges, starts screaming down there, runs past the shaman lady, runs down, double movement, squares off against Burr, and just shouts in his face. That, but he's used his actions. However, then it is the shaman's turn, who, as a bonus action, will move its spiritual weapon over into this room.
What?
And this spear just appears behind Burr for advantage.
Oh, what? She gets advantage for the spiritual weapon?
Of course she does, yeah.
Oh, she's a bit of a minx, isn't she?
Oh, 17 on the first die. Nat 1 on the second, just for the advantage. So 17 plus its modifiers, that will hit you in the back for a D8 plus. So that's another 8 points of damage.
Fucking hell.
As this spiritual spear spikes you in the back. And then, main action... looks at Scapes.
I'm going to say flee again.
He's bold, man. He's bold.
Looks at Scape and says,
run away.
Fool. Roll a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, man.
How are you spelling that?
Bitch is double O or running around.
Double L.
He starts acting like a jester.
Oh,
that one.
That one.
No.
Scapes falls down to his knees and falls down this hole.
Oh, shit.
No.
There's a hole.
Landing on the stairs and stumbling down into darkness.
Oh, Pock, you got it all right, mate.
Falling damage. I believe it's a D6 for every 10 feet. Let's just look at
what about 2 feet?
So fall from a great height is one of the most common hazards facing an adventurer. At the end of the fall, a creature takes 1d6 bludgeoning damage for every 10 feet it fell. I'm going to call it a 20-foot drop.
well an overestimate.
Well,
two stories. You saw two
Come
stories.
Come on, I've got a couple of steps.
The stairs start. So you probably can't see it. The stairs start here. So, and go all the way down.
Basically, you're pushing around in a wheelchair for the rest of the game, basically.
So it's only 2d6 damage, which actually is not a lot. A 4 on one dice and a 6 on the other. 10 points of falling damage.
That's over, isn't it? Sorry, I had to do a scream, obviously.
Are you down?
No.
No, I healed him in between. Healing.
Oh, for you was on 9, weren't you?
Oh, I feel like I only have 5 life left. I feel like my life is only at 5 if I was to describe it in an arbitrary number.
It's pitch black down there, and whilst you can see because of the map, because I gave you like 10 foot of vision or something, it's completely pitch black. You can't see a thing down there. You don't know which way is up, down, left, right. You don't know where you are. You're just down in the blackness, and you stumble down as you fall a couple of stairs, and you're just down there.
Insult to injury. Thanks, though. Cheers.
Droop's turn.
Droop dives after him. No. Droop runs round because he hears that Burr's getting hurt, and he's like, and attacks this orc here.
Yep.
Stay away from my friend.
Roll a d20, add 4.
Natural 20. Yeah.
Come on, Droop.
Loving it.
I'm swapping characters.
Yeah, done, Droop.
Damage then is a d6 plus 2, I believe. So that's going to be 8 points of damage plus a d6.
3, so that's 11.
Okay, but wait, because he is level 2 rogue.
Can he have a sneak attack?
That is what I'm checking. When do you get a sneak attack? Do you get it from level 1?
No, I'm pretty sure Droop told me he had
second level, starting at second level.
Yeah. So you get an extra d6.
So you get a cunning action, so yeah.
Excellent.
Extra d6.
Yep.
Hold a 9. one.
So 12 points of damage.
Fucking take his fucking shoes again, man.
He runs in and is like, I leveled up, bitches. Bah! Millicent, you're up.
This isn't a good position to be in. Considering I just dropped my crossbow.
You could.
Pick up the crossbow.
Go back and get it. I can't do anything in that turn, though. I'm just going to use my action to ready my second sword.
Okay, so you can draw your second sword and still move.
The question is, does a spiritual weapon get an attack of opportunity?
I haven't done so. There's been opportunities when I could have done, but I haven't done because it's technically controlled by the Shaman Orc so it'd be like a reaction that she would have to use. So.
Okay.
I've been rolling there. So you can make an attack. And if you've drawn your second sword, you can make 2 attacks.
Okay, so the first one is... advantage as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that 18 and 19. Okay, so the first one, 19 plus 5 is 24.
How much?
Which 24.
How much was the damage? What's the damage?
Oh, I'm getting there. Sorry. I rolled
damage.
The wrong dice because I was still looking at the thing. 5.
5.
First attack.
Points of damage. You run round there, jump over Droop, spin round in a pirouette round the back of this thing and just stab him in the back.
Stab him.
And he dies.
Yay!
Okay. I've got no more movement, but I will just turn to face the witch bitch.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's finish this bitch off.
Burr, you're up.
Right, up to the witch bitch. I shall attack. 11 plus 6, 15. 17.
That's a hit.
That's a 5 to start with.
Yep.
And then a 4. That's a 9. And then another 4 is 13.
13 total.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And I'll drop back one.
Okay.
saving throw?
For who?
Doddy.
Now, didn't he get healing?
Nobody healed him.
No, he's, oh, just, yeah. he's. I've moved in on the map just so I can see what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, that's fine. No, but we'll skip over that. Scapes, you're laying on your back down the bottom of the stairs.
Laying on my back? Okay, I'd like to unlay on my back.
And you're all kind of like, all crumpled up, like... Ugh.
Yeah,
like that scene in When Death Becomes Her when the two the women fall down the stairs.
Yeah, but do I come back to life that easily? So, do I have any movement? What?
Okay, so to stand, you're going to use half your movement.
Okay, so I'm going to use my other
15 foot movement. You're going
to get close to this bitch.
You're going up now because you're going upstairs from the dark. So you're going to be stumbling in the dark at half speed. So I'll allow you to basically, you're there, but you're not quite technically there. Also, this is a steep wall. These are stairs going up. So you'd have to get all the way up.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it's going to take you, I'll tell you.
14 moves.
It's going to take, so if we're going in a straight line, 35 feet, but it's going to take you about 50 foot of movement to get up these steps.
Right, and I've only got half movement.
You've only
right
got
now.
15 at the moment.
Okay, well...
So you can start moving up the stairs.
Okay, I'd like to start moving up the stairs.
That's it. Leave yourself
Have you got, like, range spells or anything?
Well, I don't think it matters, really, because because I think I've spent all of my energy just getting up these few steps. Is that right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. So,
So you haven't used an action. So if you've got an action, a spell or something, you can cast it, yeah.
Throw something.
Yeah, can't I just chuck my sword at her?
Yeah, fuck it. Go for it.
Oh, I mean, you could use your action to dash as well.
Yes.
Yeah, you can make a double movement, so you could move another...
I'd enjoy that, yes.
Yeah, moving at half speed, so you can move another 15.
Go, gadget escapes.
Okay. Hey-ya! Good... Okay.
Right, it's the this person's turn. We're gonna have a spiritual weapon come up and attack Droop as a bonus and miss. She's then gonna come down here, and she has she also has a spear, and they're gonna attack Burr. And she's going to miss, and you're very, very lucky that she misses.
Yeah, because she was probably going to push me over the edge of that thing, wasn't she?
What a fucking prick, mate.
Droop's turn.
Go on, Droop, finish her off.
Oh, is it Droop's go? Okay, Droop moves next to her here.
Yep.
And he cuts at her shins. No, he doesn't. He doesn't cut at her shins. He tries to cut at her groin because there's lots of nice, juicy... you know, like capillaries and like, yeah. So anyway, he attacks.
Raising at
me. Oak flange.
Yeah, he goes for the flange. And he rolls a d20 and it's a natural 18.
Nice, that will hit.
Yes.
Crits on
What's
18.
That, a d6?
So it's a d6 plus two, and you can use plus sneak attack d6. For another d6. So two
Come
d6
Come on,
plus
Drew.
Two.
Group yet again, MVP.
Six plus two.
8 points of damage. She's
have that.
Not going to last long at this rate. Millicent.
Is that your sneak attack as well?
Yeah, that's with the sneak attack.
I will hop over Burr and Morning. Behind.
Oh, advantage. Have
a bit
that.
Of flanky wanky. God, yeah. I can't believe I just
flanky
said that.
Wanky. Flanky wanky.
Tell you what, that's the a character for one of our adult pantos, isn't it?
There's a new t-shirt.
Yeah, the new t-shirt. Yeah, I want that flanky wanky.
Well, that just came out of my mouth. I didn't even think about it. That's so embarrassing. Okay. Advantage. 17.
That'll hit.
5 points. Hit number two. 18.
Hits.
Another five.
Nice. Still standing.
Finish this cunt off, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Bit of flanky wanky, guys.
Honestly, I'm going to be giggling about that all week.
That is it. That's the new catchphrase of the show.
Flanky wanky.
Yeah, there's going to be a flanky wanky.
Funny enough, I can imagine Alan Partridge saying it, which is even funnier.
Oh, shit, I just forgot something.
Let's have some flanky wanky.
What did you forget?
Oh,
Alan
is this to do with Droop?
Actually here.
Oh, it's okay. Sorry, I still would have missed. She's, don't worry. No, I should have rolled a bit higher on her attack, but she still would have missed anyways as well.
Not me.
So who's up? Burr, make an attack. Come on, let's do it. Let's finish up.
I rolled a nat 20.
Fucking
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so let's just add up the dice. So that's a D8 plus sneak attack, which is 2d6.
Fuck.
So you're doing, hold on, wait, don't roll. Go. So you're doing 20 points of damage plus a D8 and 2d6.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Plus your modifier.
Roll it anyway.
So roll it out, just see how much you do, but you have killed this bitch.
So it's 20 plus what, 2d8?
Yeah, so our, for reminders for any new people out there, our sort of homebrew or critical hit thing is, because if you just double the dice roll, you could end up rolling all ones and that shit and anticlimactic. So instead of doubling the dice, we assume that the second set of dice are an automatic maximum. So crit rules is you double all damage dice, so a d8 for your rapier, 2d6 for sneak attack. We assume they're all maximum, which is 20 straight away. Then you roll them and add it all together. That's a lot of damage.
So d8 is a 2.
So 22.
Plus 4.
So 26. Plus 2d6.
And then a 2.
28.
And a 3.
31 points of damage.
Oh! Yeah.
You obliterate this woman.
Yeah. I slice her from the flange all the way up.
It's always so to the point, isn't it?
Yeah. You spill the guts and everything all over the floor, and she screams, curses!
in cooking terms, you've spatchcocked her.
Spatchcocked.
So we've got Sturge Kebabs and Spatchcock Orcs.
There you go.
That's the name of the episode right there.
There we go, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I won't remember that, but cool. Text it to me. So she's so distracted. You know, she's controlling this spiritual weapon. She stormed down, made an attack and missed, and then Droops come in and hit her. Then Millicent's behind her and hit her, and she just doesn't know which way to turn. And as she's spinning around, trying to defend herself from every angle, Burr just, like, Sagat,
but
from Street Fighter,
for a natural 20.
Upcuts and just slices her from fadge to head and spatchcocks her open.
From fanny to face.
From fanny to face. The scene goes to black.
Oh.
And we see we're back outside. We're in the woods.
Where some orcs are pissing on a druid.
And we see, like, a top-down image of a battle. There's some bodies on the ground, some orcs, lots of footsteps, blood splattered against trees, no Pock. The camera pans out and goes across the hillside, and we see just this figure walking up some stone steps outside the hill, walking through a chamber. And it looks kind of familiar. If you remember, we had a cutscene last time as well, and we saw the orcs running out, and we saw, like, some images. We see Pock walking through a corridor lit by candles, through open doors, and you see massive chasm, no way across. Calmly turns round and starts going back.
Oh, shit.
Looks around, starts examining, walks up to a wall, pushes something, and this door, secret door, opens. He walks in. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. Find out what happens next time on the Dice and Die Show. Be safe, roll high, and don't let them dice never die.
Oh, you smashed it.
Don't forget to review the show, guys. Love you all. I haven't read any reviews this week because I haven't really had any, and I think I've read them all. We have had one, actually, which I didn't put out. So this was actually a competition entry for the competition that we're running now currently in real life terms in October. We have had one this week. So I will read that one out quickly if I can just bring it up, because I just want to say thank you. Oh, I didn't read them all out before, actually. I've got some old ones left. I can't remember how many I got through. Did I did Nico J. Rodriguez, didn't I, before? I'll read it out again, just in case. Sorry if I'm repeating myself. Super fun, super amusing. This is a really fun show with some great content. I'm only 2 episodes in and loving it. Can't wait to see how the story unfolds. That's an old one. Another one from Michael Meyer. Brilliant. Amazing comfort. It's like hanging out with the boys and getting down on the game of D&D. I listen and I don't even play. I love the podcast when they sound like they're having fun and making jokes. Yeah, so we've got some old ones. We'll get through them eventually. Try and limit it because I'm going to run out eventually if you bitches don't start fucking reviewing. Peace out.
Bye.
Bye. The D&D Show would like to thank Saul Coast Soundscapes on YouTube for the music used in this recording. Find him on Twitter at Saul Coast Sounds. Thank you to Lewis Gell for writing our theme tune. Find him on Twitter at LewisSWGell. And thank you to our very own James Blyer for creating the new incredible orchestral arrangement. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading our podcast. You are amazing. We'll see you next time. The D&D Show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
Hi guys, it's Luke. Very quick intro before the episode starts this week. You're about to hear an advert. Never done this before. But it's basically a favour, a podcast I listen to called The Billowing Hilltop, great bunch of guys, and I've become quite friendly with their GM Mike over the past couple of months as we've been growing and going through this journey together, him with his podcast, us with ours, and I love their show. So they've put a little promo together, and I said I'd play it at the beginning of our show. If you like how they sound, they're similar to us, maybe a bit more serious, but they've got a great little homebrew world. Now, I'd highly recommend checking them out. It's The Billowing Hilltop. Please, please, please do. Once you've finished listening to us, our episode, and you've loved it, and then you've gone and reviewed it, obviously, because, of course, why wouldn't you? Go have a look. Whatever app you're using, Spotify, whatever, have a little search for The Billowing Hilltop and check out my friends. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode.
We're going to give it another go. It's a bit more zing. Yeah. Ready? Hello.
Hello.
Wait till I get through the whole thing. Ready? Hello with a billowing hilltop.
Hello.
Oh,
dear.
We're waiting for you to get through the whole thing.
I thought that was the whole thing.
The whole thing is hello with a billowing hilltop. Okay. That's the whole thing.
Yeah? Okay. That was right.
That pretty much sums up the show. But if you want to find out any more, you can visit us at www.billowinghilltop.com. Is it com? Does anybody know?
.org.
Is it?
It's .com.
What do we do? What do we play?
There's monsters.
Does anybody remember?
Walking around.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We will be delighted if you're to join us around our table as we play Dungeon. Is it 5th edition? Hello?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah.
Yes.
We play Dungeons & Dragons.
Sorry, that was me.
What was that noise in the background? There will be noises in the background as we play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition through the classic Paizo adventure path, The Age of Worms. You can expect this.
No!
Quite a bit of this.
I'm completely lost.
This.
Bleh.
This.
I've got a bugbear in my underpants.
And one of these.
Oh dear.
We're on Apple Podcasts and we're on Spotify and we're on TuneIn and you can find us on Twitter and you can find us on Facebook. And we hope you join us. Thanks very much.
Danger. Mystery. Intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the dungeon master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song?
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through. They protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits through Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.